Started. Hi, it's Diane. It is July 11th. I'm here with a 3 o'clock group. So far we have Holly and Brent and Jane. Let's start with celebrations and check-ins. Who wants to go first?
I guess we can. Our daughter Addie has, I think our celebration with her is she's on swim team for the second summer, and last year, she didn't really put much effort in it. This year, she seems to be taking it real seriously and having some success there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations. Holly, anything else you'd add in there, or you want to have a separate celebration? You can certainly do that.
No, I think that's where we are right now. She made a goal for herself, and that's a big thing for her, is that she usually doesn't just kind of look beyond the next 30 minutes, you know. So she had a goal that she wanted to get, and she reached it, so that was good.
That's awesome. How old is Addie? Because I don't
she's 12.
Very well. 12. Okay, awesome. Is she your only kiddo, or do you have another one, too?
No, we have a 17-year-old son.
Awesome. Okay. And you said you guys are new. Have you guys been on a PSS call before, and just not with me, or – is this your first PSS call?
Yeah, we've been on several calls. I think we started back in March, but I don't remember when we started calling. Started on my
call. Oh, okay. No, that's all right. Cool. Jane, what about you? What are you celebrating today?
I can't think of anything.
Oh, I'm going to hold you to something.
Yeah, nothing comes to mind.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to challenge you to think of something, even if it doesn't have to do with your kiddo.
Something. I thought of something. Last night we were having a heated match of yelling back and forth, but he wasn't yelling, and he's the one that said for me to use a lower voice and to not scream.
So he was helping you. He was helping you manage your triggers. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then he also told me, you know, when he was away, he said, "I love you, Mom. You're my everything." So I guess that's a big thing to celebrate. So
that is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So I see somebody else joined us from Oklahoma. Who's on?
Shirey.
I didn't want to assume that. Hi, Shirey. Nice to hear your voice. I was just thinking about you.
I know. Things have been kind of crazy, I have to admit. Summertime is kind of all over the place, and, yeah, it's been busy.
Well, and you're normally in Elaine's group, so I don't normally get to talk to you at all. So I'm glad to be on the call, and you're on the call today. So what are you celebrating?
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, I was thinking a couple of things with Chloe. We've been working with the counselor now. We started back a few months ago, which since I haven't got to talk to you, but we're actually learning. It's helping me. The counselor's helping me to see what I can do to help her not get to the point where she's exploding. And it's not happening often, but there is things that I'm learning, that boundaries that she needs from me. You know, because as a parent, you treat them like children for so long, but then they hit teenagers, and it's like they're becoming a person, and it's like they need boundaries. But we do even when they're kids, but it's different. You can't just say, "Well, just do this." You know, it's like they're starting to want to talk about and contemplate it and argue over everything, you know. And so that was a big deal with her. And then with Xavier, just a couple of days ago, he was telling me, you always wonder what their values are going to be once they hit those later teenage years. And he's 16 and a half now, and he told me that he thought he was ready to consider baptism because he's been studying the Bible a while. And I've never pressured the kids to have the same faith as I do, but, you know, it felt good to feel like it's something we'll be able to share, hopefully, as he gets older. So,
well, and I know that makes you feel good, and that's absolutely something to celebrate. So, because your values are so important to you as a family, and it feels good when they reflect back to you what you hope they're going to reflect.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. So let's loop back and take aim. Holly and Brent, do you have a sense of where you want to take aim today, or if you need some help, I'm happy to help you with that.
I think that now that the routine of swim team, this is the last week of it, I think we need to get back into kind of responsibilities and expectations with both kiddos. The summer's kind of different because my husband and I are both off in the summer because we work in the schools. So it's just the schedule and the routine is off, and I'm starting to get anxious about kind of preparing for going back. So we kind of want to get those things in place and try to get back to routine.
Well, so hang on a second. I can't tell whether you're taking aim on summer expectations or you're taking aim on thinking about what you want to do differently once school starts.
Not necessarily to do differently, just to kind of set the foundation for getting back into our regular routine. So I guess it'll be summer routine, but just moving more towards, you know, we just give her a lot of leeway because of swim team, and we've, you know, schedules are crazy. So
okay, so you want to start
you
want to start adding some additional expectations and structures around to get prepared for the fall. Did I get that right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, cool. Jane, what about you? Where are you taking aim?
I think I'll take on, I think this call is on changing perspectives, right?
It is.
About perspectives, yeah. And I have been thinking about taking aim on changing my perspective of my son not being able to follow through on any goals and not doing anything with his life. So I need to change my perspective on what it means that he's doing.
So is there, so following through on goals, so goals that he's setting that he's having a hard time following
mm-hmm.
through on, is that
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yes.
And
yes. Mm-hmm.
Is there one in particular? I don't know how big that is for you. If there's 700 goals, it might be hard to kind of take aim on all his goals, but is there one particular goal that you think would be helpful to focus in on, Jane?
Either get a job or go to school, because he finished high school, so he's like just hanging out doing video games and sleeping. So I want to get him into.
So I'm wondering whether it's about following through, instead of following through on goals. I wonder if part of what you're taking aim on is kind of like how to get him to that next step of even deciding what he's going to do. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, he's having a hard time with that. He doesn't know.
Okay. Cool. Shirey, what about you?
I was trying to think about this. This is actually something that I think has kind of been an ongoing thing with Chloe, but with it being summertime, it's almost gotten a little bit worse because she can, because now they're home. But it's,
mm-hmm.
for me, it's still trying to find, and I don't know, I'm sure that there's more than one way aim I could take on this, but it's trying to find a balance with her, with myself. It's like I have, you know, I have clients, I have things I need to take care of. I need my own time sometimes, and she still has a hard time with that. And so finding the balance between being able to satisfy some of what she needs with time with her and me to have my own. And I don't know if the taking aim is the balance or if the taking aim is not getting as frustrated when she doesn't respect it. I don't know which one.
Well, and that's a really good question. The question is, if she doesn't respect it, does it make you question the balance you have? Or do you feel like you've got good balance, she just is having a hard time with the boundary you're putting in place?
I feel like it's funny because we were talking about how the call is about perspectives. I feel like her perspective on what I should do is different than what I think I should do. And so that's where the conflict is. And so even though I see that, okay, you know, I made bookmarks with you yesterday. We watched a movie, you know, a couple nights ago. I have taken some special time with you. And now you're telling me all I ever do is, it was actually really funny. All you ever do is read your Bible and research about clients and read books. I'm like, okay, I very rarely get to sit down and do that, you know,
well,
and I get
a guilt trip when
I want to do it.
Well, there's
or if she told somebody I was on my phone all the time, and I'm like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I love it when I get to sit down on my phone for a minute.
So hang on a second, Shirey, because what it sounds like is that you really want to take aim on her language, how she sees and communicates to you about this, because it's not, she wants more from you than you're giving her right now. And the way she's saying
right.
that is by saying, you're always on your phone. You don't care about, you know, so there's the attitude component of it. And
right.
there's your confidence that it's a good balance and what to do when she gets snarky
right.
about it. Is that fair?
Yeah, and maybe it is a little bit of, because I, to be honest, I feel like I'm giving what I can already, and it's not that I can't do a little bit more, but I have so many things to juggle in life. You know, you got your spouse, your kids, your home, your work. It's just,
well, and
anyways.
Here's the reality. Sorry, I mean, and I'm not trying to solve the problem for you, but the reality is
right.
that we're going to talk about perspectives today. So this could be a really great thing. Her perspective of what's
okay.
going on could be completely different than, you know, it may be
right.
that she just wants you to spend 5 minutes with her every day doing one specific thing. And because you can't do that one specific thing, it feels like you don't have time for her versus,
she wants to really change
the balance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that sort of what does quality time mean to her versus what does quality
mm-hmm.
time mean for you? And kind of, but it sounds like
right.
almost like I'm going to challenge you to take aim on collaborating with Chloe to reach agreement
okay.
on what feels good in terms of balance. Does that resonate?
Yeah, that definitely. I think I could do that because I have a tendency
okay.
to push back and wall off, and I'm trying not to do that.
Well,
so.
and my first tip for you is use the ACE tool. Right? You've heard that before. So give her lots of compassion and try to understand, wow, I can tell it really, you know, it really frustrates you when I spend time on the computer researching clients. You know, and give her space and,
yeah.
and kind of hear her perspective. So I've got everybody's taking aim. And so I want to lump in, because this is a great segue, thank you, Shirey, into this concept of choosing perspectives. And we're on page 60 in the workbook, 60 and 61 for this week. I love this topic. I love all of our topics, but I love this topic because it's such a foundational component of what we do as coaches. And what happens is that if we're looking at a situation from a particular point of view, everything we can do to solve that problem or approach that situation is locked in because we are thinking about that situation in a certain way. So if I think that my kid is being rude, my response to my rude child is locked in because it's like either I'm going to punish or I'm going to be angry or I'm going to, you know, feel like I'm a bad mom or something because I have this perspective that my child is being rude. If I can look at the situation differently, and even the example we always talk about with rude kids is he's having a hard time showing disrespect right now. If I can say, wow, this is a kid who's having a hard time showing respect versus this is a rude kid, I will respond differently. And this is particularly important when our perspective causes us to be triggered. And so this is the great example because my kid is rude will trigger me and go, wow, this can't be happening. He can't treat me like this. This is not okay. If I'm thinking, wow, my kid is having a hard time showing respect right now, I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. I wonder what's going on for him. Maybe he had a really bad day. Maybe he's angry about something else. Maybe he's really feeling like I'm not hearing him. Maybe, you know, there's all these different other things that I can do if I'm looking at it just slightly differently. And looking at things from different perspectives can be very helpful in relationships. So taking the time to look at, Brent and Holly, you're co-parenting together. So looking at things from each other's perspective, looking at things from our kids' perspective, being able to kind of take ourselves out of the situation, out of the groove we're in that's created, you know, it's like thoughts lead to feelings, leads to actions, and putting ourselves into a different space can be really helpful. The other thing that can be helpful about choosing perspectives is if we can look at things completely as an outsider might, you know, maybe as a bird's eye view. It's the you know, the thing I do a lot of times with my client is to say, well, what would the dog think of what's going on right now? You know, how would the dog look at this situation? So it's this idea of shaking yourself loose of your current perspective so you can look at a situation differently, ultimately so that you can choose a potentially a different action than the one that's not working right now. So what comes up for all of you on this idea of choosing perspectives?
This is Jane. I wanted to say that it comes up as a very positive way to think about when I see my son not following through on the goals he has set for himself, such as exercising or getting a job or going to school. It's probably more helpful for me to say, wow, he's having a hard time following through on the goals that he wants to accomplish. I wonder what's going on. And it makes me feel more empathic for him. But then I'm stuck because then I don't know what the solutions are.
Well, so we can talk about that in a minute. But what you're saying is that if you assume that he's just not doing what he says he wants to do versus if he's having a hard time doing the things that he says he wants to do, it shifts your energy around your willingness to help him, but you're still kind of in this sort of, okay, but what do I do? Is that fair?
Say that again. I'm not quite sure I understood what you meant.
So it helps you to shift your perspective.
Yeah.
And it takes you to, but where you are right now is like you're still not sure what to do with the other perspective.
Well, it makes me less irritated with him now that I can say, wow, he really is having a hard time because he has told me he wants to do this, that, and the other, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and it's all just, it never comes to fruition. And so now I'm thinking, because of what you said, he's having a hard time. He obviously wants to have these goals and have a better life for himself, but he's having a hard time like getting started to do them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. So I want to highlight on what you just said. You said, you know, I'm not as irritated with him. And the reality is that when we're irritated or we're triggered, our ability to really problem solve or partner with our kids is completely different. And so that gets you back in curiosity mode. It gets you back in a little bit more calm mode, and your ability to mm-hmm. help him is going to be completely different. Love that. Thanks, Jane.
Okay.
Other thoughts?
I guess I don't know if I'm doing this correctly, but with Addie at 12, she has turned to some really sassy, bratty behavior, and for months, you know, we were getting really mad at her, taking it real personal, and now I think we've kind of changed our perspective too. That's something she's going to outgrow, and we're going to kind of laugh it off, let her know it's not okay, but not take it so personally, because she will outgrow it, and she won't always act like this, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, is so that sort of instead of getting really frustrated and punishing and, you know, and you're still letting her know that the behavior is not okay. And you're choosing to kind of let her just mature and laughing it off. I think that another opportunity could be, how do we focus on helping her change her behavior, but not take it personally and not get triggered, not, you know, buy into it. Does that resonate?
It does.
Yeah, because you may be able to take some actions besides just waiting for her to grow up a little bit. And it may be that she just needs to, you know, the time needs to pass a little bit. It depends. Other thoughts?
I was just thinking how sometimes we expect when somebody talks to us about a problem that they're having for them to just be calm and nice about it. But the reality is that a lot of us don't talk about something until we're frustrated. And so I was just thinking how maybe when Chloe came to me and said that, rather than thinking, wow, you don't respect my space, my boundaries, maybe I could have thought, she's coming to me and wants to tell me how she feels and talk to me. And you want your kids to do that. But yet when they do, sometimes you have a hard time
because of how they're saying it or how they're going about it. But the reality of it is that sometimes that's the only way that we can get our feelings out or say how we feel when we're frustrated. So maybe if I looked at it more like she needs to talk rather than she's not respecting my boundaries, it might be different.
So, yeah, so she's in a space where she may be triggered, she may be upset, and she's looking for the connection with you as a way to unravel from that trigger. And, yes, it's inconvenient, but right now she needs you.
Right. And that's a different perspective for me because sometimes I feel, like I said, I feel a little claustrophobic or a little bit like she doesn't respect mm-hmm. my space. But,
yeah.
I mean, if I did something, different, looking at it from a different perspective, it'd be interesting if I tried giving those moments occasionally, if that would change anything.
Well, and the other thing that's coming up for me, Shari, is you know, how aware are you of each other's perspective of that boundary? You know, so it's this sort of,
yeah,
you know, is it clear to her that when you're working on client stuff, you know, if you were going to an office, she wouldn't be able to bug
right.
you. She might be able to text you, but you would not. It's not like she could stand in at the doorway of your office and go, Ma, you know, Shiree. You know, it's a sort of different
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
And so this is a great opportunity potentially to have a conversation with her about, well, what are my boundaries, and what time will I spend with you, and what time do I need each day, and you know, what do you want from me? Are there times that you want it? Do you want to do something every day? Do you want to have a routine? You know, and just kind of really designing
right.
together kind of how you honor the boundary and how she gets what she needs.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool. Awesome. So, Holly and Brent, I want to go back to kind of you're setting the stage for the fall, and I'm always curious because we're thinking, okay, school starts, I don't know for you, but here in Georgia school starts in less than 30 days. So, you know, as parents we're sitting here thinking, okay, we got to get ready for fall, we got to get everything organized, and our kids are thinking it's still summer until it's not summer. Partly because they've got this now and not now mindset. So I'm curious how you want to approach this kind of getting ready and bring your kids into the conversation.
Well, we have, they have like a routine that they're supposed to do. And it's just one thing that they do each day, like maybe Monday is trash day or whatever. But we've kind of let that fall by the wayside because of everything that we have to do, you know, just for, I don't know, what do you think? I want to get back into that just to have some sort of skeleton to hook onto. And, you know, they've been telling me, you just don't want me to sit around and watch TV all day or play video games. You want me to, you know, we're not going to clean all day, Mom. We're not going to do that. So I guess that's where I want to get back into some sort of, you know, happy medium between, you know, we're on vacation and we also still have responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the best way for you to, or what's the one way you could honor their perspective of, you know, what summer's supposed to be like and find a way to feel like it's not just complete chaos?
Well, I think we have like a summer bucket list of just things that we want to do. And it's like, go get ice cream or go look at the stars on the golf course or whatever, that we're just crossing off. And I feel like maybe, you know, Addie was asking for more screen time the other day and I was like, well, have you done this, this, or this? And, so we're trying that, but just to, I don't know, I guess I really get aggravated when I get the lip about it because that we're not asking them to do, you know, move mountains. We're just asking them to do a couple things and then we'll do this fun thing or you'll get this screen time or whatever. So I guess that sense of entitlement is where I need to shift that perspective of, you know, it's basically what are we going to do for me today, you know? what fun thing are we going to do today? Because we have all this time.
Yeah. So what's the perspective shift? Because it sounds like you get that you need to shift it.
Yeah. Maybe I need to shift my perspective in that I expect them to be grateful and to, you know, want to do the things that need to be done so that we can do the fun stuff. But maybe that's, I don't know, if that's expecting too much from a 12-year-old and a 17-year-old.
Well, so here's the question I want to ask is if they did this stuff without the gratefulness and the, you know, it's a sort of, you know, is there several steps to that, right? So complete independence is they're thankful, they appreciate it. I mean, there are things that my parents did that I didn't appreciate until I was well into my 40s.
Right.
And had two kids. So it, part of it is about setting realistic expectations, for, you know, preteens and teens. And part of it is about honoring what they want and need. And I guess the question is, what comes up for you as I say both those things?
I don't know. I guess I'm thinking more about what I want and need. And maybe I need to shift that perspective on to what they want out of summer. And I know it's, you know, that school is stressful for both of them and that they enjoy this stuff. So it is kind of an expectation of, you know, this is fun. And we don't, Addie got angry today when we saw something on the news about back to school shopping. She's like, it's still summer. I don't want to think about that, you know? So
yeah.
I guess I need to think about, you know, how stressful it is for them to go back to school and to think about all those things. And she's coming off of a year that was really hard for her. Sixth grade was hard adjustment. So
here's a challenge, yeah. Hallie, I'm going to interject here because the challenge for most of us is that we spend so much time giving to our kids that when we finally do get the nerve up to say, well, I want to have a boundary here. I want to have a rule here. I want to have help here. It's, you know, resentment creeps in or all these other things kind of creep in for us. And so what I want to challenge you to do is by seeing their perspective, then you can look for the win-win. Right. So instead of they get what they want or I get what I want, if I understand what it is that they really want, then I can find out how to get us both what we want. Does that resonate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brett, anything coming up for you as Hallie and I are talking?
No, I'm sort of more sympathetic to the kids on that because I'm the same way. I don't want to think about school coming back. I get their perspective, and I'm interested in hearing Holly's perspective on this.
Well, and what's coming up for me, Hallie, is for you to think about is how do you put some structure in place without making it about back to school if people are not ready to think about back to school yet?
Right. That's my struggle. I feel like if it's going to get done, I'm going to have to do everything. And because I get anxious about it and everybody else is just, we're just pushing it out of our mind. We're not being anxious about it. We just don't want to talk about it. So the anxiety is on me. I think that I need to figure out how to maybe take their perspective.
Well, what it sounds like is that you're maybe even trying to solve two problems at once. One is you would love some help around the house during the summer. And the other is you guys have kind of gotten into more of a relaxed habit and you're thinking, oh my gosh, the first day of school is going to be crazy. The question I want to ask is what could you do that would give them more choice and flexibility, but still help you to feel like you're getting some help?
I try to give them choices and help them to plan for what I need them to do. And I'll ask them, like, what's your plan today? What do you want to get done today? Or what do you want to do today? And how are we going to do that? So I guess I'm just anxious about that for next week when we don't have, you know, a schedule really to adhere to as far as practice twice a day and everything that comes along with that.
So what is it about that that makes it a real problem?
About next week?
Yeah.
Just everything being up in the air. Like, I know, I don't know. Maybe it's not a problem. Maybe it's my
anxiety.
And
I guess that maybe. What's your anxiety about?
About managing time. I don't like it when they waste an entire day, like sleeping till 12 and then just wanting to watch TV and that's all they want to do. I feel like we need to do something.
Okay, so the challenge I want to give you, Holly, is to have that conversation with your kids and to say,
okay.
Hey, what do we want next week to look like? We don't have anything on the calendar. I want to, you know, what is it that you want to make sure happens? You know, what's most important to you? What's most important to one of them might be, I want to get caught up on 17 episodes of whatever they watch, right? That's what I found out the hard way that my daughter wanted to do. She wanted to binge watch, and she needed to get through 17 episodes of something. But it's sort of, if you start with what is it that you want to most do next week while we don't have a lot of structure, and here's what I want to make sure we do accomplish, then you can figure out how to, then that's where you can figure out what the win-win is.
Okay.
So what comes up as I say that?
Yeah, I like that idea, and I think I think that will be helpful. When they feel like they're heard or they're understood, they're a lot more cooperative.
Mm-hmm. And even questions, if you know that sleeping in is an issue, even saying something like, how late do you really want to sleep in? And they say, well, I only want to sleep till like 10 or 11. Well, if you're still asleep at 12 o'clock, what should I do? You know, it's
okay.
Just sort of kind of, the more you can design ahead of time and involve them in the process, because you're creating this story of what it's going to be like, and rightfully so, because history tends to repeat itself sometimes. So you want to manage your anxiety by doing some planning, but you want to do it in a way that gives them as much power and control as you can.
Right. And I guess the anxiety from them sleeping too late comes from, like, how am I going to shift this to, we've got to get up at, you know, 6:30 to get out the door by 7:45 in the fall. And I just want to move slowly towards that. But
we always do it, though.
Yeah.
I'm listening to what Brent has said. Here's the thing is that's something that you could be collaborating with them on. And you say to them, it's like, you know what, I'm worried about this. And if they say, you know what, Mom? We're just going to push through and make it happen on the first day of school. And, yeah, we'll be tired, but this is the way we want to handle it. Or maybe they say, no, you know what, the week before, let's start getting up a little earlier. Or they may, you know, so, again, it's that sort of presenting them. They're at an age, and we're all in this situation. You want to help them become more independent. The problem that you're trying to solve is what happens on the first day of school when your schedule completely changes. And involving them in the process of figuring that out could be really powerful.
Okay. We will do that. Thank you.
Thoughts from Shirey or Jane? Anything that's coming up as I'm talking to Holly and Brent?
I would say I was thinking how it was interesting listening. Too. Is it Brent and Holly? Is that correct? The name? Okay.
Yeah.
Because his perspective and hers was very different. And not to pick on him, but as a mom, you just feel so overwhelmed trying to take care of everything. And even when they help, it's like their role is just so different. And so, but at the same time, I was thinking how sometimes with our perspective, we have a hard time because we worry so much just letting our kids have more control. And so it resonated to me when you said, so what if they're really tired when they start the first day of school? You know, it's like, I'm the same way. I'm like, no, we're going to start going to bed earlier a couple weeks before, you know, and I'm trying. But the reality of it is that, especially when they're teenagers, they're going to become adults and they're going to choose how late they stay up and when they get up, and they're going to learn.
when they don't feel good what to do, but it's just so hard to let that go and be okay with it. So,
it is.
I mean, that resonates to me.
It is a dance.
My husband's
right?
not worried about it at all, and I'm like, well, but, you know, so it's like, when you talked about the perspectives, it's like, it just telling me it's okay to not worry about that and just let them fall on their butt or not. It's just so hard to do that because you're so used to being the nurturer and taking care of all those details. It's really hard to do that.
Well, and there's times, Shari, I'm just going to chime in with what you just said, is that there's times that the consequence to you is actually greater than the consequence to them. And so, you know, there are times that as parents, we kind of say, well, yeah, I'm not going to necessarily let them completely deal with the, you know, the first day of school thing. It's like, well, if the first day of school is a complete nightmare, then I'm the one that's exhausted, not just them.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's where a
right.
lot of us go. It's just sort of, so how, again, it's like, I want to focus on the win-win, right? And it's just sort of,
mm-hmm.
how can you give them as much control and flexibility and make sure that you've taken enough into consideration to support yourself and your own needs.
Right.
Cool.
Yep. That's a hard part.
So Jane, I'm going to try not to over-identify with your challenge with your kid trying to get a job and trying to get off to college. But so what kinds of conversations are you having with him about the steps he needs to take to keep moving forward?
So I did say, you know, you've had your summer and, you know, we're getting towards, well, the, you know, the next year starting up for the fall, and you either need to work part-time and go to school part-time or go have a job full-time. But he's, like, similar to the others. I want to just enjoy my summer, Mama. I don't want to. I'll think about that tomorrow. And,
okay, so
know,
hang on
so,
a second. So, Jane, so let me ask a clear question. What is the boundary that you've put in place for him? He needs to have a job by a certain date. He needs to start looking for a job by a certain date. Have you put a boundary in place at this point, or are you trying to negotiate a boundary?
That was what my thought was. I need to say to him, okay, within, you know, 2 weeks, you need to research, because I'm used to doing it all. And I know that wasn't the best way, but it was just my way. I researched everything and said, here is what I found. And this, he had some choices. But now I want him to research training schools, the community college. You know,
well, but so hang on a second. So, but you shifted gears a little bit with me. And so and I want to take you back for just a second. Part of this is setting a realistic expectation for what he can and can't do independently, right? So just saying you have to research and then stepping back and watching may not be realistic for him, because left on his own, he might just click on one website and say that as far as he's concerned, he researched. So getting really clear with him about what your expectations are, what his expectations are, and what the consequences are if the expectations are not met can be really helpful. Does that resonate?
Okay. Yeah.
So if he says, I want to have my summer, then that suggests to me that he's not clear. There's not a clear agreement on what he will do right now. And so in your head, he should be researching right now. In his mind, he doesn't have to start researching until a certain date.
The summer.
What's the agreement? So at the end of summer. So is the agreement from your perspective? Well, and so, but if he thinks it's at the end of summer. Well, so then renegotiating the deadline. So is it that he misunderstood?
Yeah.
Is it that? I mean, what's really going on?
He doesn't know the fact that you can't wait till August 31st to register for classes, because I did say, you know, they're going to be full. I think it doesn't appeal to him to do any of this, because I said, why don't you just pick out, you know, look online and find, like, what the training schools are. Okay, so when are you going to do it? I don't know, not right now. I want to play my video game, you know, so, or listen to my music. So it's kind of like it's all irritating to him because he's not sure what he wants to do. And he has said that, I'm not sure what I want to do.
So the question is, what can you hold him accountable for now? And mm-hmm. how do you help him to make a decision about what he wants to explore? Because he doesn't know what he wants to do.
He doesn't.
Okay. And you know that's where he's at right now. And so
yeah.
it, if in his mind he doesn't have to research until the end of the summer, but in your mind he has to not only be done with researching, he has to be registered. Is that right?
Well, if you want to go to the community college, you know, the registration's already started and the classes that he might like will be full if he waits too long. That's what I tried to tell him.
Well, but again, it's not, it's the thing I want to highlight is what is his response, you know, what are you holding him accountable for? And the language I heard you say is that he wants his summer and you're saying, no, you can't have your summer, but you're not, but he's not clear on what that means.
He can have
a
summer. He just should. Well, I didn't say no, he couldn't have a summer. I just want him to start researching something. You know,
okay, so what you're doing is you're changing the agreement. So first, step number one is getting his buy-in for the new agreement. Is that fair? Because he has a different
mm-hmm.
perspective of the agreement. It sounds like he's interpreting the agreement as being, I don't have to do anything until summer's over, and then I can start doing stuff then. And it sounds like you don't have that same perspective. Is that fair?
That's true. Yes, I don't have that
okay.
same perspective because I think the summer's over. He still won't do it.
Well, it
doesn't follow through.
Well, his ability to follow, so there's two different things. His ability to follow through independently is different, right? So part of what you're negotiating and navigating is what can he do on his own and what can't he do on his own. But the step before that is what are you holding him accountable for and when? So in his mind, you're holding him accountable starting in the fall, and in your mind, you're holding him accountable now. And so there's a disconnect. And so that, to me, feels like the first step is how do you get on the same page with regard to the expectation that you're setting for him? So what does that look like for you?
So I'm going back to when you were talking about the win-win situation. Is that almost like compromise, like get his perspective and then mine and then kind of collaborate together about what would be a win for both of us? Is that kind of what you meant?
Well, in your instance, it's, you know, the win, it's ultimately this is the challenge with researching schools, right? So what does your win look like? Because it's really not, if he signs up successfully for a class or he successfully gets a job, is that what a win looks like for you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So the win, so he wants to get a job too. And he probably doesn't have realistic expectations about what it takes to get a job or to get into school. Is that fair?
Right. Yes.
Okay. So how do you begin the conversation with him about holding him accountable to take action now instead of waiting till the fall?
I wish I knew how to approach the conversation without having him get upset with me because he doesn't want to, like, talk about it, gets irritated.
Okay, so the first step is holding him accountable to have a conversation. So, buddy, I know mm-hmm. you don't want to talk about this and it's a pain in the butt for you, and it's really important that we have this conversation in the next 4 days. I don't care when in the next 4 days we have it. I'm making this up, Jane, but it's just sort of you're holding him accountable for having the conversation, and mm-hmm. you're giving him control over when it happens.
We had a brief conversation like that, and he came down and he paid attention, and he said, you know, I'm either going to go to school, get a part-time job, or join the military. And then after we talked for a few minutes, he's like, I'm done the conversation. I want to go. And I said, but no, 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 no. And I wanted to make it longer.
So, but hang on a second. So this isn't going to be a one. This, yeah. So this is awesome because this is not going to be a multiple conversation. So what he accomplished in that first conversation is here are my options. Getting a part-time job and going to school or going into the military. Is that right? So he's already identified what he sees are the options.
Yes, he has.
And so part of this is figuring out how to help him divide this into steps. So, hey, I already heard you say that you've got two options you're thinking about. How are you going to decide which one you're going to pursue would be one part of the conversation, right? And it may be part of what you're bumping up against, Jane, is that he doesn't want to have a long conversation about this.
Right.
He may be open to having 20, 15-minute conversations about it on his mm-hmm. terms. But, again, it's that sort of hold, what can you hold him accountable for? You know, and maybe you say, each week, I want to have at least one conversation about where things are with moving things forward mm-hmm. for school or the military.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to schedule a time to do it each week? How are we going to make sure that that happens? So again, it's that you're holding them accountable for the conversations. And then in the conversation, you figure out what can he, you know, what is he going to do? What does he want to try to do? I mean, there's all of these different steps, Jane, and there's a lot of moving pieces here. How equipped do you feel to kind of navigate through this next month here as you're trying to help him?
The problem is that I can navigate if it were me doing it for somebody. I could just research everything and get it all laid out. But, he's at the age where I want to have him.
Well, and here's the thing. Yeah, no. So, and I know Elaine talks about this a lot in this group, but about the four roles of parenting, right? So you're really good at mm-hmm. level one, which is I'm in charge, I'm doing all the work, or even level zero. We joke about level zero. It's like, I'm doing all the work for him, so that's actually level zero. So you're good at level zero and level one, and you mm-hmm. want him to be at four. The work we're doing right now, all of us, is finding level two and level three. So it's about accountability, it's about choice, it's about collaboration. I mean, all of those are levers. Ownership, you know, it's like if he owns that he wants to figure out what he wants to do with his life. You have the ability to set a target for him about what that means in terms of what you want to hold him accountable for.
So I could say by next week or every week, you know, we'll check in at a certain date. And then if, you know, would you like a suggestion for a certain website to check out? And then, you know, see if he's amenable to that. And then I could say you could bring, you know, at least one place.
Well, so hang on a second. So you're making lots of suggestions, and there's lots of different pieces for the steps. So the first step is agreeing on a timeline so that it sounds like you're at the place where you want him to start now. He doesn't want to start until fall. And so you want to hold him accountable for starting sooner. Is that fair?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the first step is getting his buy-in for that change, which would feel like a change to him, even though to you it doesn't feel like a change. Does that make sense?
Yes. And the whole reason I want to do that is because he not only sleeps till noon, he will sleep till 5 p.m. and then stay up all hours and then play the video games and kind of like enjoying his life, you know, and it's irritating to me to have.
Well, and again, it's just sort of what are you holding him accountable for in order to get access to the internet every day? You know, you're giving him a bed and food and internet, and what's his part of the deal?
You said given him what?
No, so you are provide right now you're providing him with internet and food and a bed.
Yeah.
And probably, I don't know what else. And the question is, what does he have to do in order to get access to those things? And that's something that you want to negotiate with him so that you get his buy-in for whatever boundary or rule you put in place. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. All right. So I'm going to transition into our closing questions. We're on page 61. So what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway or aha that you had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success for this action? So jot a few notes down about your ahas and your action commitments, and I would love to hear from each one of you at least an aha and what you're going to do in terms of next steps. So whoever wants to start us up.
Yeah, this is Holly. I'll jump in. I read the perspective thing before we even talked about it, and it didn't even occur to me, like, the perspective that I had and the anxiety that I have about this free schedule. My aha was to think about everybody else's perspective for next week and, you know, the rest of the summer. And my takeaway is that I do want to involve the kids in the process of trying to get back in those routines and ask them what they want to accomplish and help them to see the process and to take ownership of that so that we can all get what we need.
Awesome. Awesome. Brent, what about you?
I told Holly I thought she needed to do the aha because I had an aha watching her. Her aha. So it helped me understand her perspective when she started examining it on her own. The takeaway is the same. I'm probably going to – I think my plan is to meet her a little more towards the middle and help her, you know, with her perspective, explaining the kids' perspective, and then to help them understand her perspective. I think my plan is to kind of go as a mediator in this.
Okay. Love that. And appreciate your willingness and ability to kind of have her back in this whole thing. Cool. Shirey, what about you?
I feel like as far as the perspective goes is maybe when Chloe does approach me, even if it comes across a little bit snotty or bratty, to understand that, you know, she's needing to say how she feels. And for me to not, like you mentioned earlier, immediately want to respond in the same way that she is. And that might, part of that might be, like we've talked about before, about being, you know, observing versus reacting. I don't know. There's another word for it. I can't think of it right now. But maybe looking at it a little differently when she does approach me. And then also having a conversation about or with her about what it means to her for me to spend time with her and what that would mean or involve. And then I might need to have a conversation with her once she explains that to me about how that I work out of my home. You know, I go where clients are, but I do everything at home for them. And so she might need to understand that I have to have a workspace. And so I feel like those two things might be helpful for us.
Awesome. Love that. Cool. Jane, what about you?
The aha was really good for me to hear when you said the sentence about, wow, he's having a hard time. And then with whatever you fill in the blank in mind would be with he's having a hard time following through with his goals instead of he just doesn't do that, that he's having a hard time with it. And I like that a lot, because it changes me from being angry and irritated to let's try to figure this out, see why. And the next step would be just to talk with him about having and have short conversations about his next steps.
Okay, awesome. Love it. Okay, so Any closing thoughts before we wrap up? Awesome. Cool. Next week is a office hours week. Office hours call is Thursday the 18th at noon Eastern. And then we're back with PSS the week of the 22nd of July. Thanks, everybody.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.